And we are hard stunting podcasts like Eva Knievel coming to your YouTube and jumping out of your speakers. It's Bromigos Podcast.
What?
And we back with another episode today. You already know it's Price, Rob, and we got to hit y'all live the head. MLB, the pitchers.
Intended.
We got to do something. And we're going to give you guys our NL East preview. We're going to talk a little bit of NFL. Is LT right? Michael Parsons needs to focus a little bit more on football. NBA, we got to talk a little bit about what's going on generation to generation and more. All on this episode. Rob, what we got to do?
Play that music, my dog.
4, 3, 2, 1, go. Rob.
What up, though?
The MLB pitchers. We saw a bad one the other day. Saw a bad one. Hope Bobby Miller is completely recovering. He took a hit back to him at 106 miles an hour to the head. And before we jump into our NL East preview, we have to discuss this. We know that there had been precautions at one point where the MLB pitchers were oversized. We know that this doesn't happen this often. Something got to be done, dog. Something has to be done to preserve some of these pitchers, whether they bring that back or anything, because that Bobby Miller hit, I know it shook a lot of pitchers. I know it shook them. I know it doesn't happen as often. I know it's something that we try not to worry about because we don't see people getting hit that often by comebackers like that. But that was horrible. I know that you were watching live. I heard the lick. You heard the lick. That was a hell of a lick that he took to the head at 106 miles.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was very frightening to hear. And seeing it as well as like, you see that basically when you're pitching, because I don't want to knock my mic off, like you see the pitcher throws and then basically his temple and everything like that is exposed because
your mic. Oh no, it's still it.
I was like, man, this might go hit. Like I'm gonna hit this cord and that's gonna be
nah, it. You good.
But essentially all this is exposed to when that pitcher goes. And it's only a smidge, a quick second that pitcher can really react after throwing as hard as he can. And so MLB has to do something. They have to at least say that they're doing something because this is something where a pitcher's going to die. There is no wiggle room.
Yes.
There is no, well, you know, they're just going to get hurt. They're going to get a concussion. No, the pitcher is going to fucking die. They might lose an eye. They might lose more. But somebody is going to die if there is nothing to be done about pitchers and these comebackers that's coming at them at high rates of speed. Because how fast was it going, dog?
106
miles an 106. Hour. So think about you reacting to something that is a cowhide and like, you know, a lot of stuff in it. But a very hard projectile.
His size and moving very fucking fast.
Coming to your dome. How can you react to that? Especially when you're in a position where you can't really react that fast either. If something has to be done about this or it's going to get worse. Rob Manfred, the question, do you care about your pitchers? Because that has to be on the forefront of your mind. I understand you having your stuff with ESPN. Understand you're worried about growing the game with younger individuals, but you're not going to have pitchers that actually grow if one of them is dead and dies on the field. You're going to have a loss in little league players. You're going to have the same similar situation that NFL, that Roger Goodell was going with when he made all those different precautions with the NFL. Your seeds are going to go away if there is an MLB pitcher that dies in the field because a comebacker came to them and there were no precautions taken. You have to make this at the forefront of your mind and of your conscience, even if you don't know the solution, even if you have no clue. Something has to be said. Something has to be done. I don't care if you throw your hands up and say, dog, I got nothing. Somebody will have something because somebody needs to have something for these pitchers. This needs to happen. We've been talking about it before. Now something else has happened. You got to do something, dude. There's got to be something. Even like, just say something. Put the little like Nike pads, like you see, like the kind of like egg crate pads or whatever, on their faces, on their heads, on the like, have it like a drop down. Because remember when Giancarlo Stanton got his face blown up by a pitch?
He had the cage and stuff. Yeah.
Yep. They brought back the cages, and now you have more MLB players wearing that because they don't want their face blown up and basically miss time and mix action. So have something in place for these pitchers. I'm dead serious because somebody's going to die. Period.
Yeah. And even though it's a thing like few and far between, something has to be taken. Something has to be done. Make the precautionary. Now, whether they wear it or not, that's up to them. But give it the precautionary option right now.
Mandatory. Because the thing about it is, when it comes to shit like this, it's for the game. We talk about with the NFL, they say protect the shield. You got to protect your shield too, my bro. Like, you got to basically say that this is for the everlasting point of the game. This is for our future. You can't, because it was, we were talking about before the show, they did have oversized hat with Alex Torres. He was the only one that was wearing it. There needs to be something mandatory, because you got to tell your pitchers, you got to tell your players, like, hey, this is for the game. This is for the future. Because if something happens to you, it's going to impact our game. It's going to impact your future players' contracts. If your kid, because it's a family business with a lot of sports, kids want to play this game, you want them to make some money, then you better protect them by wearing this. Because the thing about it is, if money is lost because somebody dies on the middle of the field because they basically, no precautions were taken, then that's going to impact the little league, going to impact high school, going to impact college, and it's going to get to you. And then that's going to be less money for game checks, less money for TV rights deals, all that. Do not start the domino being knocked over because you got players that are basically being fussy and ignorant. Make it to where it's mandatory so your game is protected. Protect your own game. Emphasize it and just put it like that, plain and simple. Because people, when they know that their money is getting involved, they will, more times than not, basically make the right decision. Okay? So make sure you're making the right decision for your game, the game that you manage. Okay? Do that.
And that's just our precautionary tale. We had to talk about that because whenever we saw it, we were like, this is something that has to be talked about. This has to be talked about immediately. But on to the up and up. On
shit
to the up
now.
And up. Plenty of fun stuff now in the East preview. Okay. This is one of the divisions of baseball that me and Rob are kind of sort of in the air on certain teams here. And we're going to get a couple out of the way right away. And there's going to be one that, you know, it's going to be in.
Yeah.
But first, we're going to start with the Nets. Rob, I see that you're loving the Nets. You're loving the Nets.
I love this team. I do. I really do. And to be real, like, they're that young team that's like, I can really believe in something like this. Like, they got James Wood. They got Dylan Cruz. It's going to basically be in that lineup. Like, I think they got a lot of talent. You got CJ Abrams. You got Mackenzie Gore. You got some players that you can basically be like, okay, I see it. I see the vision. They just signed Nathaniel Lowe. They brought in Josh Bell. Like, they got some pieces that is like, okay, this is something. Now, whether this something basically is going to make the playoffs, that's a whole nother thing, because they're young. Their rotation can use some work. You know, they got Josiah Gray that's on the DL. They don't really have like that kind of depth that you would want as far as something that can compete with the rest of this division. And we're going to talk about the rest of the division, of course. But like, they at least have young pieces that I can be like, yeah, you're going to be something. We're just watching you at the budding of your career. And so I'm really liking the Nets. I can't wait to watch them during the season. But what you got for them?
So what I'm going to say is this about the Nets. Like you said, really young team, a lot of young pieces. I think this is a team that, similar to how I talked about Oakland last year, I got to let this team start to grow a little bit.
Yeah.
I got to let them grow. I got to nurture this team. Give them a little time, see what happens, see who my standouts are, see who I can push in the right direction, see what pieces are going to be here or I think it's going to be They're the last, you know, because like you said, very young, a lot of talent. I feel like they got a lot of raw talent, bro.
Yes.
Like they got a lot of raw talent.
Yes. And
we all know that if you can get raw talent going the right way, you got something on your hands. Because that homegrown talent that you can have stick around, you can give them the money. You can say, hey, I can't pay you everything, but you done been here. Let's make this happen. Let's go make a run at that championship. Those are the guys that I feel like you want to bring them in before you bring in the outside talent, your quote-unquote mercenaries, your free agent signing, stuff like that. You want to grow this first. Once we see how this pans out in a year or two, then maybe we start to make adjustments and say, okay, this person, you know, he may be tradable, he's a good asset, or this person needs to stay, or this person needs to go. Let it pan out first for the Nets, and then we'll see where they're going after that. Now, this next team, I think that they're gonna always be fishing just like their names.
Okay,
and that's the Miami Marlins. Now, Rob, as nice as Miami is, it's a beautiful place. The Marlins, y'all are gonna continue to fish. Okay. I know you've had a little injury problems, but I still don't see it. I don't see it, Rob. I can't go in on them being anything better than last place.
Yeah. And like I usually do, like on Blue Sky, like you got the, okay, Miami Marlins, and then you got the city of Miami right here, and then you got the handshake emoji, and then under that, you have the word S. Because if there's one thing Miami has, and if there's one thing the Miami Marlins are, it's ass. And so, yes, like, when it comes to this team, they're going to be ass, but they're seemingly ass on purpose. Like, they have like, some arm talent coming back. Like, Sandy Alcantara supposed to be coming back. But the thing about Sandy is, it's like, he's just coming off Tommy John. You don't really know how he's going to really be. They're going to have Max Meyer coming back. They're going to have Yuri Perez coming back. But it's like, what are you really going to get? Like, Edward Cabrera, like, what are you really going to get from this staff that's going to be anything worth a damn? Like, can it be high-end? If they come back nicely, yes, it's going to be very high-end talent. But when you look at the rest of this lineup, there's some maybes, like when you got Xavier Edwards, who actually had like he hit for a cycle last year, like as a rookie. Mm-hmm. You got basically guys like Matt Mervis that they brought in, traded for basically to get the talent that they gave away, got back. Kyle Stowers, who actually was playing around here for Baltimore for the Norfolk Tides, basically him and Connor Norby. They hit really well with the Tides, but like they're not, I mean, they're major leaguers with the low end. Like there's a lot of like, okay, sure. Like Jesus Sanchez as well, who basically they've had up and down, you know, like it's a okay, sure. But yeah, this team is going to be last place. This division is too good. You can't really rely on them to basically be anything worth a damn. They trade away all of their talent. The cupboards are bare and they don't really have a ton of like top prospects. They got three top prospects right now waiting in the wings. That's in the top 100, but like they got nothing right now. And so this is kind of on purpose, and we're going to see how it all basically lays out. But prepare for ass, Miami, because we already know you are prepared for ass. You have plenty of ass around there. So much ass.
That's what I was going to say. But that's something that they already have out there on the beaches everywhere, bro.
Pun intended.
Just saying, I don't see them, bro. And in the end, that team is, if this was football, oh, they probably going to get the number one draft pick for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Because it's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening like that. But, Miami, we do hope that, you know, maybe you can figure this out. Maybe y'all know something that me and Rob don't know.
Yeah, don't. Your ass.
Yeah, you're right. Just was trying to give them something.
I tried to think of a hope. Yeah, I did beat the Cardinals, you know, in spring training today, apparently. But
spring training.
It's the first game of spring training.
Yeah, first game of spring training, bro. First game of spring training. Now, on to the Phillies. Are the Phillies going to be the team to beat in this division this year, bro?
Absolutely, positively. Like, they got They still bolstered their rotation by bringing in Jesus Luzardo, still brought back Zach Wheeler, brought back Aaron Nola, Ranger Suarez as well. Like, this team is still going to be formidable. Still got Trey Turner, JT Realmuto, Bryce Harper, Alex Baum, Kyle Schwarber. This team is still really good and really built to last. They got the great environment with the Philly with the Phillies at their stadium. I think this team is built to basically be great. And like I said, they're going to beat up on teams like the Marlins, so that's going to bolster their wins, their win record. Like, nah, this team is too good to basically be bad. And you know what? I don't want to jinx y'all, so I ain't going to say too much about y'all, but nah, y'all are good. Y'all got things going, but do you feel the same way, my brother?
Okay, so I feel like this team is very good, okay? Now, barring one of the other two teams doesn't do better than they did last year, this is the team to beat. They were a 95-win team last year. Like you said, built the last, bro. They were like Chevys, bro. Chevys and Timexes. Take a licking and keep on ticking, bro. That's all it was. The Phillies, while I was standing, I thought that they might be a 100-win team last year. And they were there. They were close. But then I also thought the other team could have been a 100-win team, too. And the Phillies came out on top. But with that being said, with the way that this lineup is constructed and the way that they retain their bullpen, this is a team that's going to be in the mix. No matter what, they are a team in the mix. Now, how far are they going to go? One of the other teams in this division knocked them out last year. Mm-hmm. In playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a testament of, are the Phillies playoff ready? Or are they just regular season ready?
That is true.
That's going to be the million-dollar question for them. Because they had their first round bye. And I was like, okay. The one of the next teams we talking about is who they were matched up against, came that second round. And I was like, okay, Phillies, are you going to pipe up the buzz off of them? Because they rolling right now. They got a victory. And they sat the Phillies right back down and left them where they were. That first round by, nothing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that being said, I got to talk about that team.
We do.
New York Mets. The playoff buzzsaw that y'all were. And the fight that y'all put up against the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta give it to you. I gotta give it to you.
Absolutely.
You caught on fire. You knocked off the Brewers. You told the Phillies, sit your ass at home. And then when we got to L.A., L.A. said, this is the land of superstars and big checkbooks over here. And we're going to tell y'all 4-2. And we're going to keep it pushing. And we're going into the World Series.
And they did.
Now, with that being said, them acquiring Juan Soto.
Bad motherfucker.
Bad motherfucker. 26.
Mm-hmm.
In my eyes, in my heart.
Right in there.
I want to say that this might put y'all over the top, but then I get slapped by reality.
There goes gravity.
That y'all are still a mess.
Always.
And some of y'all may say, well, Price, what the hell does that mean? Well, I'm going to explain to you, okay?
Go ahead, Doc.
Fish gotta fly, birds gotta swim, and the Mets gonna be the Mets and probably just lose out at some point.
That's true.
They fizzle out at some point.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I was super excited about you guys and was on top of it is whenever David Wright was doing his thing. And I was like, yeah, Mets got some.
Real bygone era.
Yeah. Now, everything on paper tells me that if y'all were 89 wins last year, y'all should be 93, 94, maybe 95, maybe even getting close to 100. But here's the problem with that. I feel as though because y'all are the New York B team, y'all always seem to fall short whenever it means the most. Now, granted, you face Magic Johnson-backed checkbook over there in L.A. and Lord knows that checkbook is huge over there that they got. That payroll is, look, that payroll and checkbook probably rivaled any building around the world, okay? That checkbook is humongous. You couldn't overcome everything that they had there, okay? Now, in all fairness, did you guys get better? Yes, you did. Kodai is coming back. Like I said, acquisition of Soto. You're getting healthy. You're looking good. You bought back the vet, the polar bear, Pete Alonso. Got a lot of things going for you, Nemo's there. But you're still a goddamn mess.
That's the thing. That is the damn thing, dog. Like, at the end of the day, you got, like you said it, this team is actually built so solid. You got the closer in Edwin Diaz. You got, yep. You just brought in Clay Holmes. Cody Singer's going to be coming back. You brought back, you know, Pete Alonso. You just got Juan Soto, who was the top free agent since the last top free agent in Shohei. You got basically Jeff McNeil. You got Francisco Lindor. You got an up and coming catcher with Frankie Alvarez. You got Mark Vientos, who might be a 30-30 guy. You know, the
Sterling Marte.
Brandon Nimmo.
Mansa still in your rotation.
You got Ronald Acuña Jr.'s little brother. You got like so many people that you can basically be like, oh shit, this is at least a solid ass roster that could win 93 games, 94 games, 100 games, 102 games, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, at the end, like, let's start this chant, y'all. If you in your car, you watching us at your work, let's start this chant. M-E-T-S, Mets. Y'all still the goddamn Mets. And that's really all we can say about it. Y'all are the Mets. And it's nothing you can do about it except be like, this is the beginning of destruction. This is the beginning of pain. This is the beginning of sorrow. This is pre-sorrow. Because they're going to basically build me up to knock my ass out the sky.
Yes.
And that's what you have to deal with as a Mets fan.
That's my biggest fear for them. Because last year was so promising. Like I said, to get to that team in LA, we all knew that that team was looking, they were looking for a World Series. Mm-hmm. Okay? They were looking for a World Series. We're not going to touch on them, but they were World Series hunting. And you knew that you had to gear up. Like I said, y'all beat Milwaukee. Y'all cut down Philly. Mm-hmm. Like, the dismantling of Philly is meant to last. And they're built to be there. Playoffs is going to dictate what Philly does in the long run. But the Mets were like, sit y'all ass down. Told the Brewers, sit their ass down. And then they got to LA, and LA was like, checkbook too heavy, dog.
Big bank.
Too much over here, dog. Mm-mm. Can't let you win like that, bro.
Not gonna be able to do it.
Yeah. Not today. Oh, in the words of Day on Friday, not on duty. And that's what happened to him. And the Mets, I feel like they're that team. They're gonna probably win. They won 89 last year. I'm going to say Soto is probably anywhere from a 3 to maybe 8 game difference. For sure. So let's say 92 to 97. My fear is that every Mets fan is going to get built up to be let down. And I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a first round exit. I think it's either, if it happens, it's going to be second or third. It's going to be down there, NLCS, and then it's going to be like last year. It's going to be something NLDS, NLCS, and that's whenever they'd go out. Because I'll be honest with you, I didn't think that they were going 3-1 Philly.
Hell no.
I thought that if you told me the Mets were going to beat Philly last year, I would have told you, oh, we going 7 games, huh? It's going to be a 4-3, because I don't see Philly rolling over.
No.
But whenever Philly got 3-1, I was like, shit.
As good as Philly is and still was, like, yeah. Like, nah, there's no way.
Yeah, you couldn't have told me that Philly was gonna lose to the Mets, cause I would have told you get up out of my face, though. Like seriously, like get up out of my face. I don't believe Philly's gonna lose to the Mets. I was like, I don't care how close the records were, they're not going to lose to them because that team is built to go the distance in the playoffs. They're built to be competitive. And they got 3-1. And I was like, what? And I'm going to tell you guys another reason. For all of you guys who play MLB The Show, Philly is literally the team that I built my home power team with like the home stats cards. They get the boost. That's literally the team that I would base, one of the teams that I would base a team bill off of, because the team is so good. Pitching, the base hitter, everything. I was like, their base roster is good enough to fill in other gaps with other Philly cards, not to mention some of the Philly legends, Smith and all, Mike, and all of them. It's like, oh, this is cake. This is nothing. It's light work. But if you would have came to me, you'd have been like, ah, oh, man, it's 3-1. I'd have been like, get the hell up out of my face. Not happening. I'd have laughed. I probably would have pulled a 50 cent me and drove off. I'm gone, man. But they did. And I think that this year with the addition of Juan Soto, that they could be a 95 win team. But at the end of the day, it's just something about them. They always run out of gas. Maybe it's different this year. But like I said, man, you're the Mets.
At the end of the day, still the Mets.
Still the Mets. Now, there's one more team in this division that we draw question marks about. And it's because their gap between non-healthy and healthy makes such a big difference. Me and Rob try to fathom what goes on over there or what can happen. And that's the Braves. The Atlanta Braves have such a great roster.
They do.
They are so good whenever they're healthy. When so healthy. Good. And that's the key. When healthy. Do I think Atlanta could win 100 games? Yes, if healthy. Do I think Atlanta could be a team to knock off the Dodgers? Yes, when healthy. If you look at how Atlanta is constructed, they're a better version of Philly. Nice depth in the bullpen. Great starters up front. Lineup, whenever that lineup, Calvin Harris and Acuna.
Michael Harris.
Michael Harris, Acuna, Ozuna, everybody's clicking, which he had a great year last year.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell me that you could predict that year
MVP caliber year, Marcell Ozuna.
You couldn't tell me that you could predict that from him last year. They are so there. The Alex Riley is there. Oh, yeah. Austin.
You made him the wrestler.
Yeah. I've been catching up on wrestling. Yeah, I've been catching up. But Austin Riley, you got Albies is there. Isn't Profar?
Yeah, they just signed Jerickson Profar. Yeah,
they just signed Profar. You can't tell me that if that team is healthy, that they not 100 wins, though.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's that word. It's that healthy word. Need you to be healthy. Chris Sale, Spencer Strider, everybody has to be healthy. If they're healthy, that's a 100-win team, though.
And the thing is, like you said, it's when healthy. Chris Sale, who basically I left for dead. I will say that, and I will apologize.
Yes, you did.
Last year, and he won the Cy Young. I said I was sorry. I'm still sorry. But the thing about it is, yes, if you say you got Chris Sale, Spencer Strider, Ronaldo Lopez as your 1-2-3 punch, that's deadly. Now, granted, the bullpen can use some help. They still got Minter. I think they said they got AJ Minter. Who else did I see? No, they don't have Minter anymore. They got Rozel Iglesias still as their closer. Like they could use some help. They got Joe Jimenez. Like they got some people, but it's like, yeah, but if you talk about this lineup, Jerickson Profar, Austin Riley, Marcell Ozuna, Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies, Michael Harris, and Jashaun Murphy, Orlando Arcia, even you add in Jared Klinik, like you got something that basically can compete.
Yes.
And then you take out Klinik and you put in a healthy Ronald Acuna Jr. That is the best team in the NL East. If they're not right now, because of how good the Mets basically made themselves, because of how good the Phillies have been, that team, that Braves team, is the third best team in the NL East, which is saying something, which is saying something. But it's like that when healthy part of that, if those guys can basically play at the top level and they can basically come back in the ways that they had last year, this is a team to beat. But the thing about it is, how well is Spencer Strider going to come back? How well is Ronald Acuña Jr. going to come back? That is to be seen. That is to be seen.
Is Chris Sale going to pitch like Chris Sale did last year?
And that is another thing. Because even though I was wrong last year, he might prove me right this year. And I'll be right here to basically be like, hey, wrong before, right now. Okay? I'll basically be that. Because Chris Sale, that basically only pitched, I think it was like 9 starts in like 2-3 years or whatever it was. Like, that's the Chris Sale. If that Chris Sale comes out again and shows his ugly head, I'm going to be right. But we'll see.
Because he's 35. He was 18-3 last year. Are you going to get the same 2.3 ERA? Are you going to get 18? Are you going to get 18 wins again? 19 wins? Maybe 20 if we really pushing it? Are you going to get that out of him?
Or are you going to get 18 starts? And he ain't really what you doing, what you need for him to be. Like, we don't know.
Exactly. Because the biggest glaring weakness that they have, like, if we going to point to a chink, it's that bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy who we left for dead that resurrected his pitching career. And it's a bullpen that we not entirely sure about.
Not a whole lot.
Nah, because we know last year, because we're speaking on what was last year. Did he perform? Standing. I think if you would have told Rob last year Chris Sale was going to win 18 games, Rob would have said he's not going to make it 18 starts. He'd have walked off from you.
Absolutely.
But they did it.
They did.
It's such a health issue there with them. I'm not going to lie. If you told me that they were going to be 100% healthy and that they could take care of bullpen issues, right? I tell you, the NLCS was going to be them versus the Dodgers. Okay? And they were going to be fighting for a World Series. If you told me the Braves were guaranteed 100% to be healthy, I tell you it's going to be them versus the Dodgers, and they're going to fight this shit out. It's going to be a 7-game knockdown, drag out series to see who gets to the World Series. That's what I tell you. But it's such a health issue. It is such a health issue over there. Maybe y'all need to upgrade y'all training staff or something, because something has to shake.
I think it's the same thing with the Mets, because what we're dealing with is Atlanta sports. And, you know, that's another one of those, like, higher power deities that we can't really, you know, put our fingers on. Because, like, Atlanta sports will rear its ugly head, you know, when it really comes down to it. When it comes down to 28-3, when it comes down to basically only winning one World Series with 15 straight division titles. Something about Atlanta sports that we always got to keep our eye on, because it just rears its ugly head in certain ways. Even though they ain't even playing in fucking Atlanta anymore, they're playing in Cobb County. But it's still to the point of that Atlanta sports jinx is always right there. It's always right there.
It's something. It's something about what goes on there that it befuddles me. Like, I haven't put it together what happens, because you have all of these division titles. And it's like, division title. And it's like, one World Series.
Oh, they got two now.
Well, yeah, two now. But it's like, come on now. You got one a few years ago, but you got all of this talent. Yep. We always right there.
Right on the cusp.
We always right there, but we never make it. I don't know. It might be the curse of Magic City chicken wings or something over there. I don't know, man.
You know who do got some? Blue Flame got some nice ass wings. Blue Flame had the nicest lemon pepper and what was it? It was lemon pepper fried, like that. Those shoes were so damn fire. Shout out to Blue Flame. I was like, the best lemon pepper chicken wings I had in my life was from Blue Flame.
Maybe easily. That's how they exercise the curse.
Maybe.
Atlanta, maybe you get T.I. and you get him to do his best Atlanta song, and y'all eat Blue Flame chicken wings, lemon pepper chicken wings from the Blue Flame, and this could exercise the Atlanta sports curse. That would be some shit right there. Strip club chicken wings and T.I. rapping. We exercise the curse. Oh, man, that would be epic. With that being said, I have to wrap this up with the NL East just got tight as some butt cheeks, though. It just got tight as butt cheeks. And I don't know how this may or may not play out. But hell, we here for the ride, though, baby.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see it, dog. I'm excited for some baseball, dog. We here to see this. I'm excited.
I'm all in for it at this point. Moving from baseball to football, a couple things in the NFL caught our attention, okay? And one thing that I kind of heard some people asking was, if you're the Cowboys, do you look at maybe trading Dak and going young? My initial answer to this is no. Think if you trade Dak and try to go younger, I feel like you're going to screw yourself. And some people will say, no, you're not. You get a young quarterback. If he performs really good right at the beginning, he's this, this, and this. I just got a news flash for y'all. You ain't getting nobody. I don't think the next Patrick Mahomes is sitting in the draft. I think some really good quarterbacks are there. But I don't think the next Patrick Mahomes is just sitting there waiting for somebody to go, bloop. We're going to sit you a year or so and you're going to come out here and ball like him. That's not happening. But Dallas, are there issues that I feel like you guys need to address? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you have a lack of wide receiver talent. Okay, I feel like you do need some defensive talent. And I also feel like you have one meddling ass owner / GM that needs to hire a real GM and stop taking the money that he could pay a GM and let them run the team and sit his ass in his private box and quit worrying about stuff.
Absolutely.
That's going to be my biggest takeaway from that. Because as many of y'all as I hear, trade Dak for Shador. I don't know if you think that you're going to get Jaden Daniels production out of Shador his first year. Not saying it can't happen. But I don't know if you think that that's what you're going to get. I want you to look at me.
Reality check.
And be real with yourself. How many times do you think that shit is going to happen in your lifetime for you to get that? Y'all made away with a trade of the century years ago, bro. You gave up Herschel Walker. You wind up getting Aikman and Emmitt Smith. And I want to say that was whatchamacallit too.
Like Darren Woodson.
Yeah, Darren Woodson or something. You made off with your deal of the century decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go.
Let it go.
You look. You hit the fool me once on the Vikings. Okay? Nobody else is gonna let you fool them that second time. Okay. It doesn't happen too regular. It's gonna have to be some real value get thrown around to make this happen. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, with Dak basically getting traded, I mean, there's no win now team that basically he could go to. And he would have to go to a win now team because I don't think Dak brings you.
Yes.
I think Dak brings your floor up, but he doesn't raise your ceiling. And so, like, he basically gets you to where you might be able to do a little bit more than what you were, but you're not going to basically reach high heights with him. He's not that kind of quarterback, and not many quarterbacks are, but, like, he's high end. He's a high-end talent. He's just not a game-changing, like, what Cam said? Game managers and game breakers or whatever, or game changers. He's not that. Like, he's not Josh Allen. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not, you know, like these other guys. He's a guy that basically has good arm talent, makes great decisions. He does things that basically you can rely on to be a good quarterback. It's just he's not somebody that's going to change the fate of your team if he goes to you. If you have talent on your team that he can work with, like we're talking about, say, with the Raiders, it's not as much as what you're going to basically have as far as game breaker. Yes, you have Brock Bowers. Cool. You got Jacoby Myers, I think, still something. But, like, you don't really have much arm talent, or you don't really have much skill level talent, skill players that you basically can be like, okay, shit, this is what's going, he's going to basically bring us, you know, over the edge. Now, Sam Darnold probably will, and he's already out there in free agency. Is he some, like I said, is Dak in that contract something to trade for? I would not. Because all the teams that are win now already have their quarterback. All the teams that basically need to improve, they are either high in the draft or have something that is in waiting that basically they can go with. So there's no really place for Dak except for where he's at. I don't see any reason to trade for or even talk about moving for Dak. You're not going to get anything for it.
Now, also, our other NFL, well, the other NFL thing that I do want to address is LT. I'm talking about Lawrence Taylor, not LaDainian Tomlinson. Lawrence Taylor, one of the greatest linebackers.
Alpha LT, not Omega LT.
Yeah. Alpha LT. He was saying that he thinks Michael Parsons needs to focus a little bit more on football, a little bit less podcasting, and I kind of agree with him. I want him to listen to the guy with 132 career sacks and 2 Super Bowls, because if you want to get this done, I feel like you need to focus a little bit, because I'm starting to feel like guys get on the podcast, not us, because we don't play football.
Right.
And they start to kind of, I feel like they start to kind of vent about shit that they deal with on the football field, and it kind of bleeds over a little bit. It hits that cross section, mm-hmm. and then they kind of do uncharacteristic things during the game, and it's like, well, you didn't do that before. You know, you kind of letting your worlds collide right now. You need to keep them separate. That's my only thing, Rob. That's my only thing. What do you think?
Get it? It's just that I don't think this is dealing with Micah Parsons. Like, Micah Parsons is perennial, like, for me, a defensive player of the year candidate. The man plays like man hair on fire. He wants his money. That's, if you really want to basically get a motivated Micah Parsons, Mike needs to give him his money. And that's
my need to
give. And that would be my thing as far as saying, I get what LT is going with, because, you know, a lot of people come out with people with podcasts or people against podcasts. Like, I personally, I love podcasts. Like, I love this shit. Like, I love every time talking with y'all, you know, getting able to basically bring my love to your ear holes. You know, I love doing that. I don't mean to sound like Jimmy Swaggart, but, like, I love it. But now, like, with Parsons, like, I think with him, he is great. Like, especially when he gets with CJ Stroud, yeah. I love their conversations and stuff like that. So I think he's fine with podcasts. I understand basically not airing out every grievance. I think that we can all learn to not air out everything that's on our mind. And that's a very fair point. But I think when it comes to Micah Parsons, I don't think anything he's going to do if he stops podcasts is going to lead to where the Cowboys gets worth the damn. Because the Cowboys were not worth, or I won't say worth a damn, but since before Michael Parsons basically got his podcast, haven't been. I think that it's really more of a collection of things versus Michael Parsons basically making it to where he's airing shit out and basically getting, you know, headlines basically written about stuff that he says on his podcast.
Yeah. Now, that being said, Micah, just keep doing what you're doing, and they need to tell your owner to get a real GU and not him. It's not him. That simple. Trotting alone. And we go from the field to the hardwood. NBA.
NBA.
I was asked this question the other day, and I kind of want to throw this one at you, Rob. I'm going to give you my answer about it, and then we're going to jump into some things that we both feel very strongly about after the past things that went on this All-Star weekend. But a friend of mine wanted to know, is LeBron and the generation currently that's on their way out the door leaving the NBA the same way the generation before left, by setting the right example, coming along the right way, showing them that they need to be here and show up for the fans and not just trying to do whatever, whenever, and being there whenever they want to be there. My opinion, feel like LeBron is showing you that he's there, but I also feel like some of the next generation already has what I like to call the load management bug to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, but some of them. And I don't think that they have exactly the same pride of, I'ma be here every night for the fans. I feel like they're more of, I'm going to be here as much as I think that I need to be here. And then whenever playoff time come, I'm going to try to be here all the playoff time. And I'm going to do what I need to do. And I'm going to do my best to push to see how far I can get a team during the playoffs. That's how I've kind of looked at it lately with that. Not saying that everybody has that, you know, not saying that everybody has that type of mindset. But I feel like that's the next current mindset that we're kind of slowly evolving into. Not every team is doing it, because teams like the Celtics, they still playing whenever their starters are healthy, they playing their starters, stuff like that. I will throw shade at you guys, Pelicans, because I know that y'all holding on to Zion, y'all don't want him to be hurt, but god damn it, if he gonna be hurt, let's put his ass out there, let's see if he gonna get hurt or not. Let's roll the dice, okay? Let's just roll the dice, let's see how this comes out. But what do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, because I don't think that, so as far as the generation before, you talk about the Allen Iversons, the Kobe's, the, I don't know, T-Max, like, I'm trying to think of, like,
you T-Mac, Tim Duncan,
KG, guys, like, those guys of that generation, you know, they played, because they were coming off the earlier generation, they really had to play, because the NBA wasn't making, or wasn't like the national powerhouse that it is. And then it become more of a world powerhouse and so on and so forth. So as far as like LeBron and like these players of this generation, A, LeBron puts a lot of money into his body. So yes, if that's something that I would say as far as the later generations is something that they could take on to, I don't know if they're doing that. But as far as like with load management, and I don't want to basically be blame the fans guy, because that's not fair. That's not entirely fair. But for the most part, between the media, like between what the media says and between what the fans essentially, you know, reiterate, is that they only really care about, and what KD essentially made mention to, which we're going to talk about a little bit more of that in a minute, but like people only really mainly care about the playoffs. And so when it comes to only caring about the main thing, which is the playoffs, they're going to basically say, I'm going to leave my body for the playoffs, leave my body ready for the playoffs. And that's been the wrong thing to basically been the wrong mindset to really have, even though it's the wrong mindset in just statement. It's not been the wrong mindset as far as like when you look at the media rights deals, when you look at basically NBA tripling their money, you know, and what they basically, or the media rights deals that they collected, basically tripling that money. Like they've been rewarded, and I can't really say, and that's with low management being what it's been the last few years. That's with basically players and everything that they've basically said and what people have felt about the state of the NBA. They've been proven, the players themselves have been proven right in saying, we're going to save our bodies, we're going to do this. Personally, I would rather them play all the games, because like PK Subban kind of said it in a nice way, which was, I just want your best 10 years. Like, I understand that you're trying to basically give your longevity 15 years out, 20 years out, and play as long as possible. But I, as a fan, just need your best 10. I need your best years right here. So, like, I want all of it right now. I understand you're trying to peanut butter spread everything out, but I need what you do right now. And I think that it's going to get to a point, and I, you know, even though we were saying that, and then they basically tripled their money, but it's got to get to a point where that bubble's going to pop, and it's going to be to where fans are going to talk and really revolt with their dollars and say, I don't know when the best players are going to be playing in this game. I don't want to basically spend my money on a league pass. I don't want to spend my money at the stadium. I don't want to spend my money, period. And then that's going to reverberate into what's going to happen with the players. And so, is it good of what LeBron and others, because LeBron plays, I think, most games unless he's really hurt. I know he didn't play with the All-Star game, and that is what it is, because Anthony Edwards didn't play either. And it's kind of funny because nobody talks about how Anthony Edwards didn't play, basically damn near at the last minute.
Yeah, but they're going to talk about LeBron. They're
talking about LeBron, basically. Because it was like, hey, I didn't know Anthony Edwards wasn't playing. I saw he was warming up, but I didn't realize he wasn't playing until after they said LeBron wasn't playing. And so, like, it's kind of funny that that happened. But be that as it may, are they leaving a good standing for basically the later generations? Time will tell. Because the thing about it is, some of these cats are like Anthony Edwards and want to basically ball and hoop and everything like that. And that's what you're going to have with every generation. Think about when AI basically was out there. AI was really the first of his class, which is basically, I'm going to be me. And I'm going to be authentically me. I don't care how you take it. I know you don't like it. It's street ball. It's the thug. It's the hood. It's all that kind of shit. But that man was standing on his own two, standing on his own business, and basically did everything that he was comfortable with. And it wasn't really bothersome to anybody except for the people that were scared of who he was or scared of who. Yeah. Their image of what he was. And so I think that's what it's going to be. It will be time will tell when it comes to these players, who's going to be the next guy that's going to take the brunt of the NBA lightning rod that LeBron has basically been doing the last 20 years. Who is going to be that next guy? That would be the question that basically I would have. But as far as the later generation, I think they'll be fine, but time will tell.
Yeah. Now, this is something that me and Rob have bounced back and forth with saying how we feel about this. But I'm kind of glad that another NBA player said it and he was verbal about it and he stood on business about it. And me and Rob do agree with Katie. Just cancel the All-Star game.
Get rid of it. Just get rid of it.
Forget about this. Look, people are going to complain. The guys are going to figure out how not to play. Okay? They're going to figure out how not to play. They're going to not be competitive. They're not going to give us the ultimate street ball game, the ultimate pickup game that we used to get. They're not going to give us that serious time fourth quarter. You're not going to get that anymore. That's dead. It's done. That era of Stephon Marbury, Jay and Kobe in the face, all of that, it's all done.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the time, Rob. We go ahead and kill this. Get them their week off. If y'all want to do something for the Rising Stars and maybe some skill competition to quote unquote keep the All-Star alive to a certain degree in the celebrity game, I'm with him. If that makes y'all happy, go right ahead. But I'm going to say this. We just saw over the past 2 weeks with country-based teams and a four-nation face-off draws rating and high competition and bought out the best of these guys. I don't think we'll ever see that again in the NBA, dog. I feel like what we got from the NHL over the past 2 weeks, Four Nations Face-Off, if some of you guys didn't tune in, go YouTube it. We had one of the best matches, even though the U.S. lost to Canada in the finals, the first matchup between the U.S. and Canada, the most epic thing happened. 3 fights, 9 seconds. We put American fists to their Canadian bacon, okay? Uh-huh. We showed them that shit was really ham. And it was some of the most competitive hockey that you ever watch. Yeah, you like that.
I like how you did that. It was a professional.
It was competitive, Rob. It was hard hits. It was shots on goal. It was nitty gritty. It was, I'm not going to let you out muscle me for my country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And like we've said before, right now it's them and the MLB. That's it. Those are the two best all-star competition because I hate to say it, dog. The NBA is on its way to the level of where the NFL is with it right now. Let's denigrate your game from contact to flag football and skills challenges. Y'all can figure out how y'all going to denigrate it and drop it back a notch. NBA, maybe this is the beginning of the drop back a notch, some games to forward in, whatever else. Hey. Do as you be, but I'm more with what KD said. Cancel this shit.
Yep.
get them their week off. Let them go do whatever they're going to do. Let them go to Cabo for a week. Let them recharge, whatever. Show everybody's all-star honors. Be done with this.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we've hit that point. Like, and honestly, I would at least say just cancel it for a year or two. Let the heart grow fonder for the game itself. Because it's like, it's really not anything anybody wants anymore. Because I think that the players, I think they want to be there. I do think that they want somewhat to be in the game. They just don't want to play like it's, you know, game one, game 62 or game, you know, 78 or something like that. They don't want to play with any kind of real like passion. They play with more this year. There was more, especially when the game came really down to it. But it was just like, nah, man, this ain't it. They don't really want to do this. I think what KD kind of put is like, fans really only care about, like you said, fans only care about free agency, trades, player gossip, and the playoffs. And you know what? Give that to everybody. Let that be what it is, and then basically make it aware, you know, all right, we need to do an all-star game. And I know it's not easy to where you just say, hey, let's go pop up an all-star game. And I know other people have said it, like, you guys kind of make your own makeshift all-star games where y'all like, oh, hey, me, James Harden, Evan Booker, and, you know, Trey go basically play at this, you know, 24-hour fitness in Manhattan. And it's like you make your own game, but when it's like, hey, everybody's putting it on TNT, now it's going to be an NBC, but like everybody's coming in to watch this whole game, we're just going to be like, oh, okay, let's, it's the NBA players are too cool for school. And so, like, when they talk about changing the format to a USA versus world, East versus West, they too damn cool for that shit. And so, like, I think you kill the game and just basically put it on hiatus for a while. You may be able to still do the three-point contest or something like that, because that's the only real thing that has any level of competition to it. But, like, you don't really have, like, what you had in the past where, like, the dunk contest, you had Mac McClung. Shout out to you for winning three straight, sir. Jumped over a fucking car. Like, let's pause right quick. That motherfucker, like, Blake Griffin jumped over the hood of a car. Like, the length of the hood of a car. That motherfucker jumped over the car. He legitimately jumped over the Kia. Like, a sedan. I've never seen a shit like that. Like, the biggest part of the car, that nigga cleared it. Twice. Cleared it twice, missed the first dunk, made the second. That was the only dunk he missed. That's just jumping over a fucking car. Shout out to you, my boy. Hate that it happened during Black History Month. If you do it again, we're moving the dunk contest to April. But like,
only fair.
Only fair. But like, nah, man, the game, these players are too cool for the game. Let it go away. Let them rest up. Let them chill, and then have them come back for the rest of the season. I don't think it's anything else that can be done with the game. There's no other format that could be done that's going to appease everybody. It's like cranes in the sky. Like, they said, change up my hair. They said, do all this. You're basically, you are what you are, dog. Like, just don't do with the game. Just get rid of it. Let absence make the heart grow fonder, and then come back. Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe in a few years, maybe these guys don't want to compete like they competed before. Maybe they'll itch for it. But as of right now, it's an 8 all-star game. Maybe do the challenges, celebrity game, whatever. Let the rest of it go. Give them that week off. Let them go home. Give them their all-star honors. Hell, if it was me, I might get a compilation of each all-star. Maybe, I don't know, throw it up on the NBA's YouTube or something like that. Hey, here go your all-star honors for this year. This guy is such and such times all-star this team. And that's about it. Let it go. See if they decide that they really want it. If they really want it, bring it back. See if they actually play. But if you bring it back and they do the same thing they did before, cut it back off. Tell them, look, hey, we ain't gonna do this. We'll give you honors. Well, hey, you're all-star, you this, you that. But as of right now, nobody wants to compete. Let it go, bro. Let it go. Now, with that, we have one last thing on the list. Do you think the Mavs were right?
It's like, I've come to basically grow, and I know what y'all gonna say. The Mavs were wrong. They never should have traded Luka. I'm really not too much against that. But in the way that they did things, I think that there was only one way, especially when they made the, they already said they made the decision that they weren't gonna give Luka the Supermax. That's a whole separate conversation where, yeah, they on bath salts. But the thing about it is, if they said as a team that we're not going to pay Luka Doncic and be saddled with this contract for X amount of years because there's no way of moving it, XA, blase, blase, I understand why they did what they did. And there was really only one way to execute it without basically the shit coming back to them and basically blowing up how their team is and basically saying like, okay, we're not going to basically be anything worth a damn anyway, and we're going to lose this player without getting anything back. Because, yeah, Anthony Davis, it was damn near worst case scenario where basically he played one game, went 24-13, and was 24-16, whatever, but basically went crazy and then basically went out for a month. And so that was one of those things where it's like, yeah, I get it, you know, shit didn't work out, but it still is a, but it's still to the point of, I think the way that they did it by trying to execute it with one team, really with two teams, keeping it very close hold and not trying to basically let it out, because if the more people you let into that kind of trade, the more that shit is gonna, possibility is going to get out. And so it's, I understand Nico and I understand where the Mavs are coming from. And I ain't saying I entirely agree with them trading Luka, but I can basically be like, okay, I think you were right in trying to get something back. Because this is essentially what the MLB basically said with the Shohei Ohtani with the Angels kind of trade, or not trade, you know, now. But they were saying, true, you got to get something. You got to get something back. And the Angels were like, you know, they didn't get whatever compensation that they wanted back. They tried to basically get more players to, in order to compete and get, you know, they basically make the playoffs and entice Shohei to stay there. And then the Dodgers were like, big bank! And then basically brought out the $700 million. But it is to where when you have a team and you're like, I'm not going to pay this player, and I can't pay this player, and I know they're going to walk, and I need to get something for it, they at least did. Max Christie has basically been playing well for them.
Yes,
you know, Anthony Davis should come back. And I think when it comes to having all those pieces together, I think it's going to be really good. But it is to the point of, if you're going to say you're not going to trade, or you're not going to basically pay a dude, you got at least a return. Yeah, you didn't get Dalton Connect, who basically was another piece. You did get Austin Reeves, you know, like, but you did get somebody that's an all-NBA player, that, you know, and another guy that basically is now even paying dividends early on. So I mean, I think that they were overall right. It's just that it's hard to basically make that sell to anybody else. And I ain't really trying to convince nobody either. I'm just saying how I feel. So it's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, but with that being said, guys, you already know who it is. Price. Rob. Bruh. Me. Goes. Podcast. Don't forget, like, comment, subscribe, tell your people about us, tell your friend to tell a friend, just, you know, spread the word,
spread love,
be joyous, man. Spread the love,
all of it, everywhere. All of it,
the ear,
the ear hole love, that's what we do here, Ramigo's Podcast,
everywhere. Now, Rob, go ahead and take us out.
Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. See what else. If you are needing energy, like if you are basically saying that the Mavs are right and you need the energy to keep fighting the good fight, because they're going to all come at you and tell you how wrong you are, man, woman, child, get you some Dubby. D-U-B-B-Y. Dubby.gg. Go ahead, get you some of that energy. Use the promo code BRAMIGOSPOD when you do to get 10% off. They're a partner. We're a partner to them. Go get you some of that stuff and get you that energy, because they're going to tell you you wrong, and they're going to basically tell you how wrong you are, because you were like, the Mavs did what they did, and they're going to be like, that's BS because XYZ, and you're going to have to fight them like the GIF with Jon Snow at the Battle of the Bastards. You're going to have to lay out your sword and basically come at them with furiosity. Like, you just got to basically have that energy. And when you need that energy, Dubby going to be able to provide for you. So go get you that dub. Even though the Mavericks may or may not get that dub, you go ahead and get your get that dub with Dovey and go get 10% off when you do it. Fry Me Ghost Pot promo code. Use that. Get you that.
Yep. And with Rob saying that, we out.
Deuces.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bra Migos podcast. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.